The text for this morning's lesson here is going to be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and it's an account that is found actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to use Mark's account this morning and look at this event that is recorded in the life of Jesus and his disciples. And so we'll begin with the reading of it, and then we just want to think about some very important lessons, I believe, that this provides for us as we live our lives. The text says that on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So this is a very familiar story. We've heard it many times. We've read about it many times. We even sing about it sometimes. But some important lessons, I believe, on faith for us to think about. And when we think about the kind of faith that Jesus teaches us to develop, it is a faith that's not going to be affected by circumstances. It is a faith that we can have no matter what is happening in our lives, good or bad. And it's a faith that can carry us through the storms of life and give us peace and calm through our Savior Jesus Christ. The trials and the adversities that we experience in life, and we all experience them, they could be compared to storms. We have those stormy days, don't we? It's kind of like here in the Texoma region. We have some stormy days and some stormy nights. Today it's just beautiful. It's calm. But get ready, because it will change, won't it? And it just does that. And that's the way it is in life. We have things that happen. And all of us are affected by the storms that come our way. But if the Bible teaches us anything, a lesson that we all need to learn is that the trials that we face in life, the storms that come, should not make or break us. They do not make our faith, and they do not take away our faith, but they sometimes do reveal our faith. The storms of life and how we deal with them can show whether our faith is shallow or whether it is deep and strong, as it ought to be. And we all know that's true. But I just need to reiterate that these times of adversity, this is common to all of us. Some of the adversity that comes in life are because of our own bad choices. That's true. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do, and just the laws of nature and moral law itself sometimes will bring bad consequences. Sometimes it is because, however, of no fault of our own. Things happen that we cannot attribute to anything that we did, and we're not suffering consequences. It's not our fault. But whatever the source of these things may be, one thing is for certain, adversity happens to all of us. And it may come in the form of family problems. It may be in sickness that has come into our lives. Personal tragedy, heartbreak, you name it. It may even come in the form of ill treatment from others. It may manifest itself in some failure or some setback in life that brings disappointment or discouragement. We could use the word that kind of covers all these kinds of things, and that's worry. If you're like me, then you worry about things before they've ever happened. You worry that they will happen. You worry that they have happened. And then sometimes we worry because we worry. I worry about that sometimes. I'm kind of a worrier. I have found that as I have gotten older in life, various stages of life, I worry about different things than I did when I was younger. But I have to confess, I still worry about things. And I suppose that's just normal for all of us who have those worries. But we also have to acknowledge that the Word of God teaches us about how to deal with those kinds of things in our life. The worries, the troubles, the anxieties that come, real or imagined, in our lives. But I tell you, these things are going to come. They're going to happen to us. And if they haven't happened to you, then it's because you haven't lived long enough yet. Because that's just part of the human situation, isn't it? So we should not be surprised. We should not be shocked. Scripture tells us not to be surprised. When bad, painful experiences come into our lives, the storms that rear their ugly head, Peter writes to Christians in Rome who are about to face hard times of persecution, and he says in 1 Peter 4, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." Don't be surprised, he says. But he says, then, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. And the Apostle Paul has something to say to us about how we deal with all these things. And this is speaking to me when he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about stuff. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. And I have found that if I just take it to the Lord in prayer, take my word to Him, they don't seem nearly as burdensome when I said amen. And I just want you to think about these things with me this morning. And this story is one that I think kind of puts an exclamation point on some of these things that we're thinking about, and perhaps in a way that is vivid in our minds and that we can remember and that we can relate to. And that is, how do we handle the storms of life? Now, in this account, in this particular incident, we're talking about even the apostles. Even those 12 apostles, those hand-picked men that Jesus chose who would serve as His ambassadors to the world, listen to me, they faced trials. And they struggled with their faith in the midst of trials. And we see that played out here on this particular occasion. So let's go through this text a little bit more detail and look at some of the things that are said here, especially the dialogue that takes place. There is dialogue in this. There is conversation. There is recorded for us some of the things that Jesus said. And so let's begin with what Jesus said in verse 35. It says that on that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Well, of course, this was a time of teaching. Jesus had been spending a lot of time with those apostles teaching them. We might think of it in a classroom situation. Most of the time it was probably outside, sitting on a hillside, like when he delivers his Sermon on the Mount or other times. But they were together, that's the point. And Jesus was teaching lessons. He taught them a lot of lessons about faith. He taught them a lot of lessons warning about the challenges that were going to come against their faith, the assaults that would, things that would threaten their faith and expose how deep and strong it was, that is the storms of life. Remember, he tells the parable of the sower that goes out and sows the seed on the ground, and it sowed in all kinds of ground, all kinds of soil. You remember there was the rocky soil. And in Jesus' explanation of that part of the parable, he says the rocky ground represents those who believe. They have faith for a while, but in the time of trials and temptation, they fall away. He'd been teaching them that. He taught them a number of parables about the growth of the seed, the gospel. And there's this one parable about how a person goes out and he sows the seed and it grows and produces fruit, and he doesn't understand how. But he knows it does. What does that mean? That means there are some things we just accept by faith. He tells a couple of parables about the growth of the kingdom, like the parable of the mustard seed, and it's a little tiny seed, and such a small beginning, and yet it grows into a mighty tree. The power of the seed. And we accept all of those things by faith. And all of these teachings that they were being exposed to. And then punctuating those teachings were the miracles that Jesus did. These were visible signs that Jesus performed. Healing sick people. And doing all kinds of powerful signs that demonstrated his lordship and his power over life, including over their lives. But I think we all understand that life is not lived in a classroom. Life is not lived by listening to a lecture. Life is not lived by sitting in a church auditorium and listening to sermons. Life is lived out there, you see. And it's through the experience where we have the opportunity to make application of principles. It's an important aspect of learning. In my years of education, we got to putting a lot of emphasis on what is called in educational circles. It's called experiential learning. And so we undertook a program where we sought to integrate real life experience into every discipline and every course some way. Maybe it's a field trip. Maybe it's an internship at the conclusion of their degree program. All kinds of things that we might engage in, but the idea was to say it doesn't all take place in the classroom. We ought to have opportunities to take these principles that we're learning in theory and put them into practice and see how they work out and learn more from them. So on this particular day, near the end of the day, Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side." And they're going to take a field trip. Let's think of it that way. And they're going to learn some powerful and important principles in this occasion, because our learning must ultimately take place in life, and Jesus wanted them to learn the lessons that he had been teaching them all along, because these teachings are always relevant in life. So verse 36, it says that leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him, and there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Violent storm. I think we understand what a fierce gale of wind is because we have some pretty fierce winds this past week. Going home from Bible study Wednesday night was a bit of a trial. And sometimes I felt like I was driving by faith and not by sight on the way home. These things come along, don't they? And we understand, but if you want to know what can be more frightening than try to make it home on a Wednesday night in your nice dry car, think of what it's like on the Sea of Galilee in a powerful storm like this. The Sea of Galilee, there's some interesting facts about the Sea of Galilee. Of course, actually, it's a very large lake. But they refer to it as the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes it was called the Lake of Gennesaret. It had different names that are used in Scripture. And nowadays they call it the Lake of Tiberias. But the Sea of Galilee lies some 700 feet below sea level. It is one of the lowest places on earth. In fact, it is the lowest freshwater body of water on earth. The only body of water that's lower than that is the Dead Sea, which is further south, but that's salt water in the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, though, is way down in this low position, surrounded by high mountains, and it's very common over there because of where it's situated, because of geography, because surrounded by all these mountains like Great Mount Hermon that's several thousand feet in elevation above sea level, and others. That in the evening time, what would often happen is that the cool air would descend from the high elevations down through these mountain ravines. And when that cool air would collide with the warm, moist air rising from the sea, violent storms could often break out. It's a very common phenomenon there. And this was a bad one. The storm was so severe that the boat was being swamped by the waves that were breaking over it. You know, the boat was filling up with water. And, you know, you don't have to be an expert in sailing and riding a boat to know that if water keeps coming into the boat's not going to continue to float for very long. And so they're concerned, and that's what happened here. And let me just tell you something. Things can change so quickly in life. Here they are, and in one moment it's just calm, beautiful evening on the lake. Think about that. The sun's going down. What a nice setting. And moments later, there's chaos. Has that ever happened in your life? I tell you, most of the time when the storms come and when our life is turned upside down, it's totally unexpected. It's out of the blue. And you can get that phone call, or you can get that doctor's report. It can be a number of things that happen, or that pink slip of paper from your boss. And your life has just changed dramatically. And that's a storm. That's not a pleasant time. Illness, death, divorce, family tragedy, you name it. Your world and my world, in a moment's notice, can be turned upside down. And these things can challenge our faith because, listen to me, life is not always easy. Then we come to verse 38. Jesus himself was in the stern, that is, in the rear part of the boat, sleeping on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you not care that we are perishing? Think about that. These men, by the way, several of these men, we know this about the 12 apostles, that several of them were experienced fishermen. This was not the first time they'd been out on a vessel. Probably not the first time they'd been in a storm on the water. They were familiar with storms on the sea, and yet, on this occasion, they were convinced they were going to die. This was a bad one. And it was bad enough to frighten them. They were terrified. Panic was setting in. Feelings of desperation. And it's such a contrast here. In their panicky situation, there's Jesus sleeping calmly in the back of the boat. Partly, no doubt, because he was weary from a day of teaching and healing. After all, we have to remember, the Bible tells us that he was human. He was God who had taken on flesh, and so he suffered all the infirmities that we do. But I'm convinced that he's able to sleep and to withstand the circumstances in a different way than the others because he has such complete trust in his Father's care. What Paul refers to as the peace that surpasses comprehension. But their question says a lot, doesn't it? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We have to ask, have they really learned well all of those lessons on faith that they've been hearing in the classroom? And on this occasion, have they failed to see the example of Jesus, how calm he was in the midst of the same storm that they are experiencing? But I think most telling is the fact that they seem to doubt that Jesus is concerned. Do you not care that we're perishing? They are doubting his promises. And it makes us think of one of those many lessons that Jesus had recently told them. It's where he says, if God takes care of the lilies and the birds, will he not take care of you? Are you not worth more than they, O you of little faith? And now here they are. And look at how they're acting. Well, in verse 39, it says that Jesus got up. He'd been awakened, and he got up and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still." That is, be quiet. Some translations, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And then he rebuked. After rebuke the wind and the sea, he has another rebuke. And that is, he rebukes the disciples. Verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" Luke's account, he just says, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid. But Jesus is telling them, your fear is a result of inadequate faith. It's okay to be afraid sometimes, but faith can overcome our fears if it's what it ought to be. But it also makes us wonder, have they not heard what Jesus said before they started this journey? He said, let us go over to the other side. He did not say, now let's see if we can get across this lake without drowning. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to go across to the other side. He's already told them what the outcome of this journey is going to be. That seems to have escaped their notice. You see, the storm was a lesson on faith. And that just is a reminder to me and to you that every storm of life that you and I encounter ought to be viewed as a lesson on our faith. It is a tutorial. It is an opportunity for us to exercise the faith that we've been learning from Jesus and put it to good use. But all too often, we're kind of like these disciples. They still have more to learn. this shows, they had more to learn. And we just have to keep learning as well. So verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What an impact that must have had on them to see what Jesus was able to do. They're filled with awe and they're filled with wonder. But of course, they had seen many signs of Jesus. They had seen his healing. They had seen his miraculous deeds. Here is yet one more that affects them in a more personal way. They said, "Who then is this?" It is a lesson that is intended to help them see that Jesus is the Son of God. That he, in fact, is the Creator. He's been telling them that. They see in Jesus what many of the prophets said about the Messiah who was to come. The psalmist, for example, in Psalm 107, declared of Jehovah in ages past, he said, "He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men." Psalm 107, verses 23 through 39. You see, this wasn't the first time that God had ever had this kind of power, demonstrated this kind of power over his own creation. He had done it many times before. And Jesus is just simply reinforcing this important principle that they are standing in the presence of the Creator, the Son of God. Now, when you're in a storm, who else do you want to be with? We sang a song a moment ago, "Near to the Heart of God." There's a place of peace and rest, quiet rest. A place of joy and peace, that song reminds us. Near to the Heart of God. So what lesson can we take with us? There are three things that we can take with us. Lessons to remember, to summarize what we've thought about today. First is, there will be storms. There will be storms. I can promise you. You're going to walk through some storms that you wonder whether you can survive. The trials and adversities, we need to remember though, do not come simply because we have taken the wrong turn. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the choices that we've made in life. We should not feel guilty because we're going through some difficult time. It's not always because of something we have done. It's just life. We live in a sin-cursed world. That's part of the reason for this. But the other reason this is teaching us is every one of those storms that we encounter in life is an opportunity for us to look at ourselves and to deepen our faith. They are lessons for us. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope." An opportunity for growth, isn't it? James echoes that in James chapter 1 verse 2, where he says, "To consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So the first lesson is there will be storms, but we can be thankful for the storms. because we can be made stronger as a result. The second lesson is we are never alone. We'll never walk alone in the storm of life when we're with the Lord. You know, we need to remember that just because God is silent doesn't mean He doesn't care. And we should never jump to the conclusion like they did, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He does care, and He's always with us. He's always present. It's important to remember. Sometimes the lesson that the storm teaches us is that the storm is the only way out. You can't get around this storm. You have to go through this storm. And the Lord may not always calm the storm in every case, the way He did this time. But He will calm you, and He will calm me, so that we can make it through the storm. He will give us the strength that we need. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties, all your worries on Him, because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. There will be storms. We'll never be alone. Finally, God is in control. That's what we need to learn. That's the reminder. God is the one who calms the storms, because He is the one who created the storms. He is the master. He is sovereign. He is the creator. As Psalm 46 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains should slip into the sea. God is our refuge and strength. God is in control. And that's our lesson. And so what I would say in conclusion to us all, as a reminder, is let us submit to His sovereign will. Let's be sure that our lives are, and our spirits and our hearts are being placed under His will. And He promises to guide and protect us, and He will give us peace in every storm of life. And if you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll make the decision soon to become a Christian, because God has special care for His children. If we can help anyone in any way in your desire to serve the Lord and make your life right before Him, let's stand now as we sing this invitation song.